Thanks for your early attendance. I'll get started on time. Be respectful of your time as well. So I'm Joe Clancy. I'm a senior engineer with the Azure Resource Manager team in Redmond. My day job is not features. I do quality work. So we chase 4 and 5 and sometimes 6 nines of REST service availability. And I love trying to make our service resilient to failures. When bad things happen, it's fun for me to pick up the pieces and try and avoid it next time. So things we're going to cover. The overall architecture of our product, how you organize resources into resource groups. We're going to be walking through creating and managing Azure resources using ARM. I'll call it ARM, if that's OK. I wouldn't want to have you sit through something you don't want to, so let's make sure we align with your expectations. If you already author and deploy ARM templates, there's going to be plenty of review concepts. I won't be diving into sort of 400-level advanced template pieces, and I won't be using Visual Studio. Pure developer audiences might be a little disappointed. I hope that's reasonable. If this isn't what you're looking for, no shame in checking out HoloLens next door. But if you're like me and find this stuff exciting, let's jump in. So let's take a peek at the architecture, what it looks like. So your REST calls come in through the top. The top means the Azure portal, the new one. It could mean PowerShell. We'll be using a lot of PowerShell in this. Visual Studio, the Azure SDK, if you link it. Or, well, you can write naked REST if you want to. We publish the spec, so it's totally up to you. If you don't like any of the tooling, do it yourself. It's completely open API. No hidden APIs for implementing our portal. So everything's available to you. So ARM in the middle that's the front door to all management traffic in Azure. Authentication and authorization is done via AED, or federated security, with your own directory. We give denial of service protection, so we don't overwhelm individual resource providers with customers with ill intent. And it's fully regionally redundant. So if we kill connectivity between Azure regions, which happens from time to time, you'll still be able to do things locally. I'll go through an example of that shortly. Now, the credential you use to talk to ARM is a JSON web token, one you'll get by talking to AAD or setting up service-to-service authentication using a cert or a password. Now, the lower layer, those are the resource providers themselves. I counted yesterday, we have 67 registered RPs, actually, many of them in early stages of integration and private preview. We have 6 additional external partners, people like ClearDB. And if you're familiar with, well, the simple ones, storage, compute, websites, they're all available there. And we're excited to announce more as we go forward. If you get the emails as a subscription owner, you'll see all of them coming into public preview and then GA. It's important to keep this diagram in mind as we go through what's happening. Any questions at this top level, or does that make sense? So how do I ask for... Oh, go ahead, sorry. Yes. It's available now in, I think it's public preview. So I think you can ask, so you can register that resource provider and actually just do things. If not, then ask me and I'll find out someone to ask so you can get into it. Yeah, backup is we've been working with them for 5 months at least. So they're definitely in there. So creating resources, you have to put them somewhere. Resource groups are the organizational building block for ARM. A resource has a definitive home in one resource group. They're just containers, places to put things. And they can host differing resource types or resources in different places. Now, a resource group itself has a location. It is a boundary for where details about the deployments are persisted and for fault tolerance as well. So as an example, if you manage VMs in Australia Southeast, we'll say Melbourne, no infrastructure is needed outside of the continent to manage your resources there, right? So if you have the scary Godzilla scenario where a fiber-hungry Godzilla chews all the cable leaving the island, then you'd be resilient to that type of failure. Compute has a management head in Australia, and your resources are here, your portal is here, no problem, right? I like to think of, it's my quality background that makes me think of these evil failure modes. Most of our resource providers have global management presences. Not all do, but we're working towards that. So resource groups imply different sorts of couplings. It's very much up to you, but typical kind of couplings are listed here. What sort of rules you should use for deciding what goes in which resource group? Well, consider what the management lifecycle will look like. Think of resource creation, assigning permissions, and then eventually decommissioning. So resource groups are the answer for how do I organize resources, but how do I create them? You've got two choices. There's the declarative model and the imperative model. Now, imperative is where, well, you're familiar with it if you use the current or previous Azure portal. You ask for something to be created, right? Please create a VM for me. We're going to talk about the declarative model. Now, that's where you make a statement of how you want things to look at the end. So I want 3 VMs of these names configured with connection strings to this SQL Azure database and sharing a virtual network. So think about what's involved there, right? We have to, well, bring up the SQL Server and the database underneath it and get connection strings for it. We have to bring up the VMs and then configure them with those connection strings. And we have to do that in order. So the ARM declarative model is implemented via templates. So, resource templates. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Is there any technical implication of putting things together into a resource group at runtime?
At runtime, so not when you're managing your resources?
Correct.
Not at all. No. So, once you've created your databases and your SQL servers and everything else, oftentimes you talk to them not involving ARM at all, right? I mean, they're resources that live out there, right?
Yep.
So, absolutely no. Not at all, no. The resource location defines where it lives, right? Not the resource group location, okay? So different concepts there. Yeah, good question. So resource templates, let's go on. A template together with inputs describes a goal state. It lives in a source repository alongside your other code. It is code. Input and output parameters are defined in the template, allowing you to supply different ways to give those different parameters, or even nest templates in a chain. So I'll go into a few details. I'm not going to aim to be an exhaustive template reference. We document this quite well on Azure.com. We have string manipulation. We have math functions. We have lots of stuff. Let's look at the pieces. There are 4 different sections. Parameters are, well, the inputs, what comes in. We have variables, resources, the meat of the template, what is it creating, and outputs. Those are optional. I'll go through a few examples, and then we'll jump into PowerShell and we'll actually do it. So parameters let you specify the shape of the inputs. You can give hints to places like the portal by giving default values and descriptions of what the fields are. More complex validation of parameter values. You can do a little bit here, like pick off a list, but we leave it to the resource providers because we can't really tell. I'll give an example. If you have a storage account, that includes a globally unique domain name, right? So if you have you create the same storage account name and someone else has it, you'll get a conflict. And we're working on better validation in that specific case via a test or validate deployment. We have that's available now in PowerShell, and we're adding support for each of the resource providers for that. That all aside, your client is welcome to do that. The portal does lots of validation for you, and we're adding more. Variables are set up at submission time, right? So these are not they're not evaluated and change as they're run. They're set at the beginning. Now, if you want runtime values, that's what a reference or dependency is. We'll get to that. Resources. These are the models of the things you're creating in Azure. Now, all the stuff outside properties that's metadata for ARM. That's for the resource manager to know about what the resource is all about. Inside the properties, those are resource provider specific details. I was using storage as an example, so we have different storage SKUs like standard, premium, geo-redundant, and so on. So that's where you specify all the details of your resource. And then at the end, optionally, you can output anything you like. So you can see the typical use case of this is I chain two different templates together so that, I don't know, like the IP address of something becomes an input to the next, or parameter to the next template. So then we run it. We build up a state machine of all the different things you're creating. We run as much in parallel as we can, right? So if you're creating one VM and then doing something with it, that's going to be a very sequential type thing. But you could do 100 in parallel, no problem. And indeed, we'll call out to compute and ask for all of those all at once. And going back to the resource group location, the ARM location that is managing these requests are the regional pair. So if you ask for Australia, east or southeast, you get either Melbourne or Sydney asking for the local resources to be created. When you're all done, you get a result, if it worked or not. If it didn't work, we have event service logging that tells you the details of each step along the way. These are the GA partners, the generally available resources that I could think of. Lots more in preview, lots more coming. So let's try deploying. I'm going to use PowerShell. And I'll start. I haven't warmed this up at all. So let's start. I'll just get my notes up. And I'm going to log in fresh. Now, I'll use my company account. We think of our subscriptions as valuable assets. And so we've turned on two-factor authentication. And you can do that in AAD yourselves as well. That's nothing unique to living at the mothership. And so yeah, that's asking for the secret on my TPM. And the output of this is a token that I'm going to use within this PowerShell session. In the browser world, of course, you get a cookie that saves that token. And so you can switch between tabs and you get to preserve that. So I've got actually a number of subs, so let's pick them. And I'll pick the one I want to work with. You'll see the pattern here. There's the verb and then Azure RM something. The version 1.0.1 of Windows PowerShell with Azure has changed the model of the PowerShell cmdlet naming. Firstly, you don't need to install extra things. You don't need to switch Azure mode anymore. They're all just there. And they're all consistently named. So this is just, there's not a special PowerShell session to load up anymore. So I'm going to pick one. Let's pick this one. This one has permission to create things here in Australia. Not everyone does. And so let's create a resource group. I'm going to be doing a little bit in the portal as well, so you can see things pop up on that side. To me, to the Azure Resource Manager, it's all the same REST surface. There's no difference. So there's my sub. Great. Let's make a resource group. Let's call it, we're going to use, I'll be 16 today. Where should I create it? Do we have preferences for Sydney or Melbourne? I will pick Melbourne. There it is. And so I'll go over to the portal. And let's just see. And there we are. There's my new resource group. So now I have a place to put things. Template deployments have a destination resource group. You nominate where it goes to. And so let's look at an example template. I'll just pick this one. So this has most of the features I was talking about. We have a bunch of parameters at the top. We have variables. And then I'm going to create a bunch of resources. IP addresses, other network pieces, a storage account, and then at the bottom, some compute, right? Oops. Sorry. Now, Notepad is my editor of choice. You can do all this in Visual Studio as well, with full syntax highlighting. And so I encourage you, if you're actually writing templates, to use a proper editor like this. Let's kick it off, and I'll describe some details about it. We're creating compute, which takes some time. So let's do a new Azure Resource Manager resource group deployment. Okay. Deployments have names. I'll just call this the same. I have a destination resource group name. I just created it. And then I need my template. So you can specify a template via URI or by local file system reference. I'll use the local way. Let's go template. You can specify parameters as well. I'll just type the parameters in. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so this, as you saw, has a set of parameters, right? Things that'll differ from deployment to deployment. And I'm going to pick basic, simple values. Resource group has a location. I'll pick the VMs to go up in Sydney. And we'll go. We actually have enforcement password complexity requirements. And I didn't type it right, so that's fine. Let's do that again. There we go. So we're building up the state machine. We're learning what needs to be deployed first. We're creating the storage account, then the VMs. And this will take a few minutes. We'll do other things while it runs. We can also inspect progress using some of the other management features, like audit logs. And we'll use the portal for some of that. So I'll just go over and take a peek. If we refresh here, let's pop into our resource group and see what's happening. I'm already deploying, and I've got a bunch of stuff already. I don't have VMs yet. But let's just see. So I have some events popping up. What's happening, right? So I have already creating some networking bits. Right? So off it runs. So that's the basics of template deployment. Go ahead. Why would you? Well, let's say you wanted to create a geo-redundant website, right? One in Australia East, one in Southeast, and then a traffic manager profile to pick between them, depending on availability, right? That is the same deployment lifecycle, the same permissioning, right? You're gonna, when you're finished with it, you're gonna delete it all at once, right? So that's the guidance for what lives in a resource group. That's why we don't inherit the location from the resource group, because it's not necessarily tightly bound. Any other questions? Go ahead.
An example, if resource groups, if the actual data center resource group is located down,
yes.
Still manage that resource group?
Yes, yes. So there's two parts of what managing means. One is executing deployments, right? So this deployment in progress, we have workers that live in both of the Australian data centers, and both of those fight to pick up jobs. Managing, though, to you probably means opening the portal and looking at it, or commanding like a VM start, or getting the keys of a storage account, or doing those sorts of actions. And as long as you can reach our REST head somewhere, you can do that. And we use a Windows Azure Traffic Manager profile to do that. And it's really reasonably good, right? If we have an outage in one region, it's sort of like 3 minutes until we adjust DNS to point somewhere else. Latency will be not as good for rendering the portal, but it works fine. Yeah.
So
the
deployment can also still
happen? Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, in the regional ring, right? If we kill both Australias, well, those jobs will wait for you. So. We haven't had a full regional outage yet. We've had plenty of occasions where individual data centers have gone down. We had a fire in China once. That was exciting. But nothing too terrible. Yeah. Go ahead.
Some of our resources, for example, have been created a couple of years ago, and they don't live very short. How do we move them to different resource groups now that we've got...
All right. Good question. We have resource move commands, commandlets in PowerShell. They'll let you do that. We've defined our resource provider contract. It needs to support that. Having said that, not all resource providers support that, right? And so you can try moving them, and going forward, that'll be more and more supported. But in a general sense, I wouldn't expect that to succeed for everything, I'm afraid. Oh, hey, SQL's no problem. They're actually pretty good. Yeah, so yeah, you can move a SQL server and the database is underneath it around resource groups. That's no problem. Yeah.
If it fails,
yes.
What happens?
So like all of these things, we are goal-seeking and idempotent, right? So either it works or it doesn't. We won't leave you hanging in a state where, you have a website slot living in one resource group and the farm living somewhere else. We won't do that. And in the very few occasions where we see that, that's very interesting to us and we want to understand why. So we'll offer full support for that kind of case. So here it runs. Have I got any more? It'll take a few minutes. Creating VMs is expensive in time. Let's actually just go back. And we'll return to that. We'll see how it progressed later in the demo. Time for other management capabilities. So I gave you a peek at event logs. That's auditing of what's happened. You get an idea of who did what. Some other topics we'll cover just in a second. Management logs, yeah. Who did what, where, and what permissions they're using to do that. So the portal is a great way of getting that, but you can get them with PowerShell as well. We're quite granular in what we tell you about what's going on. And in the failure case, there'll be a field that describes at the bottom level what went wrong, right? So if I was if my deployment fails, it might, not everything works. We can take a look and see the sort of base thing that went wrong. Now, for organizing, you have resource groups as the level that lets you manage sort of lifecycle type operations, but we also give you tags. So it's nice and tidy organizationally, or you can make it functional too. So you can organize in a sort of cost center basis using tags, right? You can do dev and test, right? We let you in the portal filter by tags and then look at cost, usage costs, right? So you could have overlapping tags that define different things and actually measure the cost of your pre-prod environment over time. We'll see later that you can actually require tags via policy so that you don't have this sort of random collection of things that aren't categorized in a way you might expect or require. That's organizing. Time for access control, or RBAC, role-based access control. So I'm a subscription owner. I can do anything I want on that sub. I might want to grant my colleagues permissions to do some things, maybe not everything, right? Maybe I will give them just read permission. That's the most common one, right? Maybe I'll give the ops guys permissions to start and stop and restart VMs, but not reimage them. So for access control, we implement it with two concepts. We have role definitions that describes a set of permissions you're given, right? And assignments. So the assignments go to an identity and to a scope. Everything's inherited, right? So you start at the least granular level, at the sub-level, and then you can trickle downwards and add more and more specific permissions. Here's an example. The built-in role definitions, they show examples of common access patterns you can use right away. Or you can make custom role definitions that nominates the specific permissions that you want. Here's an example. And we'll look at the destinations or the scopes that you can assign things to, right? So sub IDs are the top level. But I can go down the hierarchy. And maybe give someone very privileged or all star access to something right at the leaf. Everything's inherited, right? So at the top level, you grant a permission and it trickles all the way down. Do you want to see a demo of that? So I can show it. It's not hard, and it'll give you sort of a more tangible idea of how this all works. So let's just go over here. That's running. So let's see. So let's just, I'll just go in my portal here and just see what stuff I have, right? I've got this resource group. And oh, more things are appearing. That's great. I'm going to give my colleague, who wouldn't otherwise have access to this sub, I'm going to grant him permission I'll give him to the whole sub. Let's do it that way. So I have a role definition that I want to deal with. What one am I going to use? Let's see. Git Azure RM role definition. Here they all are. I'll pick one. Okay. I like the idea of website contributor because it's, well, at the bottom of the list. There it is. I need to look up my colleague in Azure Active Directory so I can, he's the identity that I want to assign this role to. So let me get Azure RM AD user. All right, so that's using my credentials to talk to AD. And because Charles is in my org, I will. No. I need mail. There he is. So I have an object ID, and that's the key that ARM uses to look up this identity. Now, this is just a user. There are group permissions, and the groups could be defined anywhere. They don't just have to be up in Azure. They could be in your own directory by federated security. So I've got an object ID, good. Let's make a new role assignment using this object ID and my subscription. So let me just remember my sub ID. I'm going to need that. There we are. I was using this one. Good. And so I'll do a role assignment. Right? So I have my role definition already. I have all the pieces. Let's do a role assignment on the object ID I looked up. There it is. That's my sub. And I have to give it a role definition name, so I'll call it by his name. Oh, I'm sorry. I needed this name. Now, all this pain in PowerShell, I can do that in the portal direct, but never mind. Let's just peek in the portal and see how it goes. So if I look here, let's just refresh our view. And in here, let's look at users. So I should be here, right? Because I own it. Nice if it would come up, wouldn't it? There we are. And so, yeah, there's our dev lead that I've given him a website contributor status there. And so now I don't have his credentials, but we could log in and do it as him. All right. So that's a role assignment. Any questions on that? I mean, it's the simplest example, but it lets you do the granular access control that wasn't available previously. Previously, we had admins and co-admins, and not much else, right? So we're pleased to offer this. So that's RBAC. Any questions before I move on? All right. Let's go back here. Policy, the new hotness. So what are the use cases we are lighting up here? I mentioned the tagging scenario. So this is requiring tags, the presence of a tag or the contents of those tags. Geo-compliance, this is really, really useful. You might have restrictions on like legal or privacy restrictions on where your data actually lives. And I mean, you can tell your DevOps guys, please only create stuff here in Australia. But now you can enforce it, right? Service curation, right? So pick the list of VM images that your org supports, right? Maybe you don't want any Linux VMs. Maybe you don't want to pay for that, right? That's okay, you can enforce it now. So how does this all work? Looks quite symmetric to role definitions and role assignments, right? There's a reason for that. Everything's default allow, okay? So you're only removing permissions as you walk down the inheritance tree. Basic idea, this is the grammar of it. I won't go through sort of the formal stuff. You can get the slides later. So here's an example involving tags, right? So you have to have the cost center key. You can imagine having the cost center key be one of a short list, right? Only permit things be created here. I find this one humorous because Armin enforces a policy where if you don't have a billing address here, you can't create stuff here. Because I guess the ATO would want to charge them GST or something. But this is that regional enforcement we were talking about. So here's an example of what types of resources you can create. Another example, I mean, compute is an expensive thing, and maybe you can have all sorts of really useful Azure services without compute, right? So imagine the case where you say, I actually don't want to pay for compute by the hour, but I want my org to use and deploy great websites and SQL servers and everything else. Great, no problem. The PowerShell commandlets are as you'd expect them. Very similar to the RBAC grammar. I'll go through a quick example just to show it working. And I'll show the enforcement as well. So let's just jump into that, if that's okay. Okay. Oh, look, our deployment succeeded. Awesome. We'll look at that at the end. Okay, so yeah, I have that that Australian example here, right? So deny anything that's not in these two locations. All right. So let's do a do a new Azure RM policy definition. And here's the policy argument. Okay. Let's pick in Australia as my name. All right, so now I have a policy definition I can use. In the same way, let's create an assignment, okay? So we'll do a new Azure RM policy assignment, okay? We'll actually have to get that back, so hold on. This is a sort of a rich PowerShell object that describes this. Get Azure RM policy definition. Is. Okay, we're going to give the assignment a name as well. And then as before, it covers a scope. There we are. I'll steal the sub-ID there. Okay, anything else while I'm here? No, that's that, okay. So that policy is now active in my sub. All right. Now, what does that mean? Well, I could create a storage account or try to create a storage account somewhere and watch it fail. Do you want to do that? Let's do it. What do you need for a storage account? You need a type, right? What are the types? Standard LRS, I think. I have my resource group name, great. This is an imperative resource creation. I'm not using a template, just giving the details right away. And where should I put it? Let's go West US, where I'm from. Goodness, didn't work, right? So I might want to take that off if I'm going to have use of this sub elsewhere. So and we don't render this in the portal yet. This is so new and so fresh that it's barely available via PowerShell. But it's available to you, and we're working on that. So new hot policy features, try it out. Use it. Go ahead. To a group? Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. So No, sorry, I take that back. No. The policy applies at the scope level, and that's only sub ID, group, and resource. It's resource related, not identity related. All right? So, yeah, no, user specific policy, no. Now, you can require, like, prevent users from doing things via RBAC assignments, right? But if you wanted some set of users to only be able to do things with certain tags or not, not so much, yeah. Yeah, good question. Other questions of that nature on policy, on RBAC, on anything? No? Let's see if we could. Let's poke around the deployment, right? We've let it run. We submitted it on the PowerShell side, but it's finished. Great. So let's see what results. And I'll just peek through the events that happened. Oh, what's this event? Goodness. That's an event attached to the resource group, not the deployment. But would you look at that? Interesting. So we had a write storage account failure. Who did it? Oh, I did it. Oh, bad me. So here we go. And I get the very specific details about what's happening here. So great for debugging, great for sort of formal auditing of what happened over time, right? All write requests get an entry here. And they tell you all you need to know about who it was. So there's our deployment. There's all our resources. This example is putting together a few things, right? It's got, let's just go back here. Close this down. We've got a couple VMs. We were using DSC PowerShell. You can use Chef or whatever you like to define this the end state of the resources you deploy. The goal, like ARM templates, is that they be goal-seeking declarative actions, right? If the DSC PowerShell that you write on your VM is not really deterministic and isn't idempotent and you run it twice and you get a different result, then you're sort of losing the power of these templates because you don't know what's going to happen the next time. Now, we have some mitigation for legacy deployments that might have those characteristics. I showed you the default, which is the there's two deployment modes. The default is just incremental, so we just create the resources that aren't there already. I could run that template again, and we get the same thing. In fact, we get it pretty quickly because all those resources already exist, right? The complete deployment mode is one that tears everything down first, right? So if you have a PowerShell script that behaves differently or fails the second time around when configuring a VM, all right, too bad, right? But we'll accommodate that. So if you deployed that template using our complete mode, we delete it first, make sure we're starting clean, and then build things up. So keep that in mind. You own the PowerShell that's running behind these if you are doing compute type things. And we own it for everything else. And we worked really hard with our RP partners to make it work well.
Go ahead. It
is on a per template deployment basis. Now, one thing I haven't mentioned is that you can run multiple deployments inside a resource group at the same time. So it's not like the resource group is exclusive per deployment. Now, in the complete sense, you're going to delete everything that you don't see there, right? So you'd only want to run incremental deployments side by side. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So go ahead.
Ah, so the failure was not a deployment, right? That was just an imperative call, give me a storage account,
yep.
All right? And it didn't work, so I don't have it, right?
If there was anything dependent on that storage account?
No, that was a naked new storage account. There was no linkage or anything, no. Now, if that had happened in a template where there were dependent resources, I'd have a failed deployment, and then I wouldn't have the desired state. Now what we do is we leave everything in place for you so you can look at it, right? Look at your event logs, figure out what went wrong. The typical pattern there is then you delete the resource group, right? Delete all your artifacts and start completely fresh, right? Because you want things to work from the clean state. So that's the pattern I'd recommend, yeah? We're almost done. I'm not going to occupy the whole time slot, and I think I'll have time for just a few other questions. Let's tear it down just while we're here. Let's delete everything. The portal that does this kind of cheesy, are you sure? Away it goes. All right, I'll get events noting that I commanded the resource group deletion, as well as the individual resources going away. Let's just go back up here, and if I refresh this, away it goes. Right. It'll take a few moments. It takes a while to throw away a VM. So yeah, everything that I did today, excluding the policy work, you can do in the portal, right? I could have done that, the role assignment stuff in the portal. You can't yet do custom role definitions in the portal. But that'll be coming. Let's go back here. The things went over. Did I miss anything? Were you hoping that I go over something that I didn't? A few loose ends just to think about. You might ask how Azure Resource Manager deploys itself, right? Not by templates. So we can't introduce a circular dependency to our service. It would be the snake eating its own tail in that case. It's very unfortunate because it means we need to work at the layer underneath to do all this. But plenty of other Azure services do deploy themselves using Azure templates. It's the new recommended pattern, and in fact, there's a leadership push to remove dependencies on older deployment technologies. So it's reliable and it works. Yeah.
Very useful.
classic or legacy compute, storage, and network? So we're going to deprecate them at some point, right? We're going to throw away the old portal. And we'll need complete parity before we can do that. Now, the new portal goes GA maybe later this month. Soon, anyway, right? And we're excited about that, and that'll give us a chance to make sure that everything does indeed work in all cases. Now, for the classic resource models, everything works side by side. You can see them here, you can manage them here. But the new models are so much better. Yes, no, they're fully supported. There was a time when the new compute stack, especially, was nowhere near ready for deployment via ARM. That time is long past. It's mature, it's ready to go. It's generally available, and we want you to use it. So the migration story is going to be exciting. We were very careful in making the new model to make it great, not to saddle it with exact one-to-one mappings with older resources. So migrating will be fun. We'll offer some automation to do that. But for all new things, definitely consider ARM template deployments with the new stack, please. What else have I got?
Yeah. If you want to build an environment, you know, in a box. Yeah.
Aha, yes, I probably didn't mention Azure Pack and Azure Stack at all. Our good friend Brand did during his keynote yesterday. So all this great stuff is available today in Azure Pack. So it'd be kind of tricky getting the portal working and all that, but the PowerShell stuff, absolutely, right? We offer the same management surface, same templated deployments, same RBAC stuff, right? Using your org's identity structure. Azure Stack's gonna be even more exciting because then you'll get all of the lower level resources, right? The table store and SQL and everything. And it's all completely symmetric, right? So you get all of the goodness that I just described in that private cloud environment. So one really exciting use case. Brad mentioned the idea of buying a forklift rack full of brand new shiny machines for this use case. I'm a lot more excited by repurposing existing hardware, right? If you've got a whole bunch of servers running SQL, and you're migrating those bits off into the cloud already, those are idle machines. Use them, right? Jump on those. Hosting the Azure Stack for like a compliance reason is sensible. As a staging environment, not so good, because why not just use the public cloud for that? But it's definitely available and supported. Yeah, we're excited.
But also, like, if you build off a website, mm-hmm. BSO,
yes.
Include that as part of your deployment?
Oh yeah, it's just a different connection string, right? This is just a different place for the management API surface, right? So the place you're pointing Visual Studio tooling, right, by default would be our public cloud, and we have national clouds elsewhere. So we already offer the facility for you to point at those places. Point it locally at your Azure Stack. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're native resources. I'm not sure I understand. Like, what's the piece that's missing in your mind?
Yeah.
Yes, so you've got that working in the public cloud, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you want to bring that into your Azure Stack, right?
No. Just deploy it to another public cloud, and you've just created a resource group.
Yes. Ah, okay. How do you pick it up and put it there?
Gotcha.
Yeah, so you need to have the collateral, right? So we don't have the capability of asking that something be pulled down so that you can put it back up somewhere, right? So I'm afraid you do have to do that work. Yeah. In the case of some resources, it's not going to be that difficult because like the collateral isn't big. In the case of a website, you could have a lot of stuff involved, right? Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that scenario, to be honest. More questions?
You mentioned 67 standard resources that you can deal with.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit struggling with documentation. So
okay. Yes. So I have two answers for that. One is we need to get better at our documentation. Another answer is our operations API. So we offer an API that lets you do a, I wonder if I can do it in PowerShell. Probably. It's a query of the resource provider to describe their schema of their properties, right? In English, in a not just a formal grammar, but describing each field and what the acceptable values are and what they mean. And that's a requirement of our partners. We introduced that after we went GA, and so some people are still catching up. I'm involved in the enforcement part of that, so hassling them to actually get that ready. So I think you'll find collateral if you look for the operations API with the Azure Resource Manager. If you don't, contact me. And I'll get you the details of that API. Yeah.
So in a sense, REST API is the
Yes, this is meant to be a discoverable surface, right? The portal uses it to describe, like when you create a new imperative resource, to describe the fields, right? And so there's no, we haven't baked in any special knowledge into the portal to support that use case, right? So we want that available to you as well. Don't hesitate to use the portal, too. Now, not all resource types are there, right? And that's probably what you're thinking of, right? Yeah. All right, go ahead. Yes. Yes. Yeah, so you're probably familiar with PowerShell lacking the RM, right? Yeah, so Azure PowerShell versions 0.9.8 and prior had this sort of split mentality of the default mode was talking to the old service management API, right? So not talking to ARM at all, talking to the previous stuff. And when we first started implementing commandlets, we decided, well, we don't want there to be any confusion, so you had to pick between that mode and the ARM mode. That worked well for building up the service, but it led to confusion as well because you'd have to know what mode you were in and you have to select it. Now, anything with the Azure Resource Manager, Azure RM. Anything lacking that is the previous service management API using the old portal and that management stack. And that's not going away. This is, PowerShell 1.0 point anything and upwards. Still, I think, in preview, but it's the thing you'll get if you go to WebPI to get the new bits. Okay, does that make sense? Cool. Yes. Yes. Let me think about that. I could imagine writing a tool that gets you some of that. Now, I can't say that I'll give you all of it because a lot of the properties that a resource provider supplies, like in the case of the storage account, the type, right? We don't have a formal definition of what's required, what's needed at creation time, what's a read-only field, that sort of thing. And so we couldn't deterministically know how to create it, unfortunately. Yeah. We could give you the bare bones, though, right? And all of the metadata for the basic resource types. We wouldn't know the linkage either, right? If there's connection strings buried somewhere, right? All those dependencies, you have to author those. You have to know what those are to be able to specify them. Yeah. I'll be around for more questions just before we conclude, though. Evals are compulsory. And I'll bet it's something like being, I don't know, an Uber driver where I get a good stern talking to if I don't get 4.6 stars or higher or something like that. However you rate me, there's daily prizes, as you know. Thanks for spending the morning with me. This is fun. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was informative. That's snowshoeing a couple years ago. Just 50 miles east of the Redmond campus. Looking forward to this year. We actually have snow this year. Thank you kindly. Any further questions, definitely come up. I'll be in the speaker's lounge probably for the coming hour. Or tackle me elsewhere in the conference. Thanks so much.